Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And I want to welcome you today to the airwaves on bbsradio.com. And today I would like to talk about what we're hearing all over the world today in the news from a little different perspective. Just when we were settling back into believing that we were safe in America, that everything was right with the world, up crops this fear again, this experience of being jolted again to awareness of how small the universe really is. As light workers and as metaphysical people, we have, most of us, been praying for Iraq and praying for the Middle East and situations in other countries. As light workers, we're more aware of wanting to have some personal conscious experience to be able to help in some way. But I think even as spiritual beings, we get lost in our fears at times. It's a normal reaction when something like this hits the news to go back into our fears. So I want to talk today about the news and what as spiritual beings we can do and how can we face this thing called terrorism. September 11th was a wake-up call for the United States and, in fact, probably the world. It sent all of us running back to our belief systems, figuring out what they were, first of all. And we ran back to our churches, our religions of our birth, perhaps. We ran to each other seeking answers. We sought answers from our government. And we tried to reason in our mind why someone would do what happened. What would cause someone to react and impact lives in a moment and change the world forever, as those terrorists did? Many, many people I know as light workers actually had the courage to pray for those people who did that violent act. A lot of people got angry. That's our first reaction as Americans and as any human being. If anyone goes to harm someone we love or some value we love, our first reaction is to go into anger and fear. And then it recreates a reaction. For every action, there's a reaction, the cosmic law, not mine. And we get back into our terror and our fear. And as we become more enlightened and we realize that everything is connected to us, that every action is part of a conscious choice, whether we are a choice, not conscious or unconscious, perhaps. Because I think sometimes we make a lot of choices unconsciously. When the dust settled from the September 11th, we saw the world forever changed. Gone was our feeling of being safe in the U.S. Gone was our illusion that the America was a mighty, invincible power. And we came to the realization that each of us has to view the world differently. We got very caught up in watching the media, watching the replay of that action over and over. It was almost obsessive compulsive. We couldn't turn off the TV. We also saw at that time the strength in America and in all people of all the world. We saw really how people reacted to the putting their own lives at risk to save others, the fire department, the police department, many aid workers just flocked to New York to make a difference. The people on the other plane that chose to take action rather than have another plane hit another building and take more lives. We found incredible people. We found inspiration within that disaster. And again today we face a fear of terrorism. And I really believe, unfortunately, for a while, we're going to keep having incidents where we have this reaction, this terrorist vendetta going on that we are trying to cope with. And I hope today we can talk about different ways we can start making a difference as spiritual beings to cope with that fear. I know that when I checked my phone messages this morning, I found many, many, and actually for the last 4 days, other clairvoyants and psychics and healers were calling and saying, something's up, I don't know what it is, but I'm really antsy, I'm nervous. It's like I'm feeling that fear level. I'm feeling disruption and confusion. And so at some conscious level, many, many people that are sensitive and light workers and people who listen to the show, I know, have had that sense of knowing something was wrong, something was going to happen, but we couldn't know where. We couldn't get a hang of where was it going to go down, what was it going to be like. And I believe by us becoming conscious of that underlying unrest, we began to pray. We began to do that, if nothing else. We began to meditate. And perhaps we're part of the answer of this being uncovered and diffused. It's hard to understand when we're in the middle of this how to take cosmic and conscious responsibility. It's very easy for us to say that it's up to our president, our government, our nations, the world at large. Why aren't they policing the terrorists more? Why isn't someone else doing something? But the truth is, as we become more spiritual, we have to fall back on that conscious responsibility and knowing that we are part of the whole and part of the answer, as well as sometimes part of the problem. The minute we go into fear in any way, individual or collective, we react and we cause a reaction in the world. And spiritually, I don't know about you, spiritually I get it. On a good day, I get it. And on a bad day, I'm like everybody else. I fall back into my own personal fears. And then I realize, thank goodness for spirit and the angels, they come knocking on my door and say, you know, Atira, you might not want to go there. You might not want the reaction for the action that you're experiencing. So we as a nation, and in fact people of the world, started to pray on this September 11th. And perhaps we had prayed like we had never prayed before. The President of the United States soon decided that the answer was to send our friends, our family, and our loved ones off to war in the name of protecting us. And it caused even more confusion, I think, for many of us, because we reacted perhaps before we had all the information to make a conscious choice. We reacted again out of fear and anger. And I think no one can make a good decision when they're in fear or anger. I know as I look back on my childhood, and my mother would react to me running out towards the street. She reacted out of fear and anger, trying to protect me. But I didn't understand why I was getting spanked and scolded, because I didn't have a fear of the traffic. I didn't have a good enough understanding to know that I could be wounded or hurt. But I understood my mother's reaction to me doing something she didn't like. So we slowly have to learn and be conscious sometimes of every action and reaction. When we don't know enough, when we are afraid or uneducated about something, we often react in anger. And we make choices unwisely. We often don't take the time to see all the facts and get enough knowledge to make different choices. And as light workers, we are finding that it is not just enough to pray to send healing energy to places in the world. We have to start becoming more of the answer in our own communities, families, and neighborhoods. It's really interesting to me that we are becoming such in a society that is so caught up in the electronics of the world. Unfortunately, it really does anymore take two working parents to make family things work. We are many, many generations now into the experiences of drugs and alcohol in epidemic proportions like we have never experienced before. More grandparents in the United States, at least, that I have just been looking at statistics and that, are raising their grandkids. And they're sort of ill-equipped to do so, because they're raising their grandkids not out of a sense of community, not out of that how it used to be where you lived close to your family and grandparents and parents and great-grandparents all watched out for the kids. But more now, we're taking care of grandkids and we're taking care of kids because the kids have gotten hooked on drug and alcohol, and the grandparents are having to take over raising the grandchildren. And they're getting the grandchildren not because they just love them and want to be with them. But they're getting them after they have experienced anger, abandonment, and abuse, often in these situations. So the children are suffering from, you know, this experience of people trying to cope in the world, and that people that have gotten hooked on drugs and alcohol. And so the dynamics of the family dynamics have certainly changed since certainly my mother's generation. And so as a collective community of spiritual light workers, we are being called to action to start making choices to volunteer, to be healers in a more dramatic way by sending healing and light worker and energies and prayers to our local communities, our schools, our local hospitals, our libraries. The energy work and the dynamics of where we are needed have changed. We don't have to look any further than our own back doors sometimes. How are we handling our own family dynamics? As light workers, once we wake up, we don't have the luxury of saying, oh, well, I'm not going to talk to my father or mother because I was abandoned or abused when I was a child. It is time for us to be awake and look. And it's hard to say when you have had those kinds of conditions. It takes years sometimes to get over those feelings. But as we begin to start realizing it's a conscious choice to stay a victim or not, it's a conscious choice of how we react. In families, you can see alcoholism that has gone two or three generations. And you will see maybe two children out of that. Well, that will make a different conscious choice. They will choose not to be alcoholic. They will choose to have much more interaction with their children. They choose to break the pain and the chain. And so as light workers, it is that as we become spiritually aware, we realize that we can be a conscious answer to somebody's prayer. Now, when I'm saying that is I realize many people have to work full-time jobs, sometimes two jobs, so they think, well, how do I have time to do anything? You know, by the time I come home from work and I start cooking dinner and the kids, you know, I've got them busy, you know, they're in their rooms watching their TVs, on their cell phones, on the computers, all of a sudden, guess what? We realize that our family values are falling apart. Our connection to our children, our significant others, miscommunication, lack of communication, everything starts breaking down. But as we become more spiritual, we get more conscious of the choices we're making. And so sometimes the conscious choice is to turn off the TV, to shut down the DVD, to take away the cell phone, to turn off the computer, and to have your children help you with the setting of the table, or to at least sit in the same room and find out how their day went, as well how your day went. To just check in that moment, to say, I love you, I want you to know I'm there for you, even though I'm not always 24 hours there for you. In this moment, I can be there for you. And so by consciously pulling in our energy and giving love to our children, our sisters, our brothers, our family, sometimes that's where the healing of America perhaps starts. As we become more globally aware, too, we are changing the dynamics today. The indigo, the rainbow kids, the crystal kids are all much more conscious that we are a global nation. These kids are aware that our rainforests are important, and many of them are doing something about it. When you watch Oprah, you will see her show many examples of kids, 8 and 9, 10 years old, that are making a difference in countries clear across the world from their neighborhood. One child found out that a village in Africa needed wells and raised hundreds of thousands of dollars by soliciting help and actually had wells put in these villages in Africa. One of the biggest examples was the young man who was in the wheelchair. His last name was Pisano, can't say the word, sorry, who was on Oprah, who was a young person who had suffered tremendously with health issues for many, many years, and yet he wrote books on love and poetry on changing the world. He was one of the greatest and most shining lights of the world. His love, his perseverance, all through his illness, he encouraged other children to make a difference. He inspired adults around the world. He changed lives forever and educated. And if an 8 and 10-year-old child can make a difference, what can we as light workers do? It's time for us to make conscious choices to be absolute beacons of light, and I know you are doing that. So today I would love to hear from you. I would love for you to call in on our line at 1-877-876-5227. Again, 1-877-876-5227. And share with me and my listening audience ways that you have chosen to make a difference in your community, in your world. We are making the difference. We are the next generation, and our children's children are the next generation. We have to choose consciously in every moment to set an example. We can't pretend. We can't leave it to the next generation or someone else. And in every moment, we're becoming aware that that choice is in the now. I would like you to join me in a moment of prayer for the world today, to pray for peace, to pray for the level of fear to be diminished, to pray for our newscasts and our radio and TV stations around the world to help us find strength in this time of terror, in this time of being threatened again, that we pray that Divine Spirit, God, Goddess, all that is, helps us to find the strength to help every person lessen their fear and find their inner strength today, and to help calm, whether it's your neighbor, your friend, anyone that is around you, to give them strength in this moment, that to know that they can make a difference. I know that for many people, I have many, many friends that are flight stewards, that fly every day, that absolutely have never taken for granted for a moment since September 11th that they are not in extreme danger. They take it very seriously. They take the lives of the people that are flying on the planes very seriously. So it's a time for us all to take the moments in the morning at different times of the day, whatever moment you have, to send out extra prayers for all the transportation, for everyone in the world, to make the conscious different. Each of us has a personal responsibility for our actions here and now. Starting with small things, like talking on cell phones while we're driving. It's interesting to me, lately I've really been paying attention when I'm driving and watching people with cell phones. I mean, there's so many near misses in one day if you're driving on the freeway. And I think, you know, we are taking this technological society so much for granted, and we have lost perspective. And every day on the news, you will hear often many, many accidents that are caused because people are on cell phones. We have to take personal responsibility. If you want to talk on a cell phone, it's a conscious choice, whether you're holding it to your ear or you're using an earpiece or another hands-off device. As a conscious spiritual person, we need to be consciously responsible in that moment when we're driving. We are taking lives in our hands, our own and those that are riding with us and those that are, you know, traveling alongside of us. So just by being responsible about one small thing, our cell phone, that's a blessing to somebody. Another way we need to start paying attention is to the children. What are we teaching the children? What are we giving to our children, our grandchildren, the children around us? Do really 10-year-old, 8- and 7-year-old children really need cell phones and computers and DVD players? We are keeping them busy. Is that really the answer? I'm wondering about this. The more that I see kids on sensory overload, the more I see kids that are diagnosed as ADD, ADHD, all of those things and putting on Ritalin, I question this in a big way, because I think these are the kids of the future. These are the indigos. These are the kids that see angels, guides, and masters, that see spirits, that see auras, that are more aware than we are. But we are so busy keeping them busy and ignoring them because we don't have time. We make excuses not to have time for them, not to communicate. They're starved for communication. They love interaction with adults and other children. And yet, older brothers don't talk to their siblings because they're so busy in their Game Boys. We have lost touch with the here and now and the skills that we're going to need in each moment to communicate with each other. It's time for us to turn some things off, to get more grounded, to defrag ourselves. It's a time where we're learning that, yes, you need computer skills. You can't go to the library without computer skills now. You have to know computers in order to get into the card catalog to find books. And in fact, perhaps libraries may become a thing of the past because so much of it is on the internet, which is absolutely a blessing in the way of the future for kids that have to go to school. But they also are going to need the skills to understand communication, not just behind a box. The rising statistics through psychology right now of kids that have become so introverted they can't interact in a classroom setting is frightening. How can an introvert teach an introvert to be an extrovert? It can't. We need to start giving our children more skills with communication. We still need to help them understand what it would be like to have jobs, to communicate, to interact. What has happened to customs and courtesies, basic good manners? As I looked around and watched children in the last 6 months, I have been really shocked and rudely awakened, I must say. I have not found very many children with manners, common courtesies of thank you and please. It's amazing to me that we have somehow lost our absolute gentleness of the world. I'm not saying all, but many, the system, the teachers are having difficult times teaching. The system is, of course, a little antiquated, and it is kind of confusing about all of the things that are being said that need to be taught, that we are more worried about what a WASL score is than if our kids can read and write. It worries me. We need to remember that as things have happened, as disasters have happened, that we are paying attention, that we are learning more about our own nation. I remember when Hurricane Katrina hit, that for the first time, most Americans got a preview and a view of something they did not think existed in America, and that is poverty. The world saw our cosmic flip show, and I was not proud of it. Each of us can make a difference in our own way. It's interesting to me that before Katrina hit, most people would have said, in America, we don't have poverty, that we have systems that take care of poverty or lack of education or people that don't have good jobs, but that we have welfare and that we have churches and we have programs and institutions to deal with that. But the truth is that we have, in our own country, literacy and poverty. And we became aware of that with Katrina. We started to have to ask questions, to wonder why in America, a country so wealthy, a country with so many things, that we have such abundance, that all of a sudden we found out that we also have problems. And hopefully we're starting to get the answers to those problems. I think it's slow in coming, unfortunately, because it appears our government is sort of slow to react. But our people were not. I had many, many people, many light workers, nurses, doctors, leave their jobs, take their vacations, and go down to aid in the wake of Katrina to give assistance without being praised, without pay. They did it because they knew it was the right thing to do. These are the light workers. These are the lighthouses and the beacons of how our world will truly be changed. We can make differences in our local neighborhood in small ways. I know we can't always give of our time and money. Sometimes we just have to give of our compassion. But each of us can make a difference in a way, again, I hope you'll call in and share the ways that you make a difference in your own community. Again, the number is 1-877-876-5227. Or if you have a comment about how to help someone deal with the fear. I know there are people actually that are afraid to travel in any way. I mean, people have lost their jobs because they're afraid to travel anymore. And so any help that any light worker can give today to anyone listening is a gift from God and from Spirit. We can make differences. Our school's teachers are really trying to make a difference. The president, a short time ago, instituted something called No Child Left Behind. And as I thought it was a great idea. I thought, great, finally, we're not going to have any kids left behind, you know, that we're going to really pour our energy into our school systems because that's where they needed it. And one of the things they say, there's so much crime and people in prison because they are people who don't have an education. They quit school, left school, didn't have the means to go to school, whatever it was. So when I heard No Child Left Behind, I was on the bandwagon until I started talking to teachers and finding out, much to my shock, that having heard from so many of them that the program, in fact, was hurting the children and, in fact, is hurting teachers. It is actually tying teachers' hands so they cannot really give to their students what they need. It sounded like a great idea, but statistically, we are spending more on our prison system per prisoner than we do on our school system per kid. That's a sad statement in a wealthy country. We have to start speaking up for these things. We have to start making a difference. I was stunned when talking to a local friend of mine, Lori, who is a school teacher in a local school here, to find out that she had more than 50 children that did not have the means to go to school this year, meaning that they cannot afford their backpacks and basic school materials to go to school. Now, I have to tell you, I've been out of school a long time, and I don't have children, and my nieces and most of them are in their 20s, and I do know how expensive college is, but I actually really did not know how much it costs for an 8th and 9th grader to go to school, not counting their clothes, but just counting their school supplies. Until I decided to make a difference, I decided that I would go out and I would buy whatever it took for at least two children to have backpacks and the supplies for school. I was stunned. It was $25 a piece. It's an amazing amount. I can see why there are families out there that cannot afford the necessities. Thank God for Spirit and my angels and guides that I was able to do that to make a difference. Each person can choose to buy one thing. It doesn't. If you can't afford to buy the whole thing, you can buy one ream of paper. You can go to the dollar store and buy a package of pencils. Everybody can give what they can. One thing. One thing makes a difference. It's important that we make a difference, whether it's here in the United States or in a foreign country. I learned many, many years ago when I started going to Egypt that I could make the difference I thought I wasn't even thinking I was making a difference. Actually, it started out as just a fun thing to do, and I started creating baggies. I would put soap and little shampoo things like you get at the hotels, and I would put a little car or toy in the baggie, and then I would put a pencil or a pen in the baggie. And I would carry these baggies in my backpack, and I would give them out to the kids in the street, because they got so excited over it. And I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. And then till Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, who does our newsletter and our website, said, Atira, we need to write about this. She wrote about it in her newsletter, and we got incredible amounts of response from people saying, oh, my God, I never thought about doing it. I go to Mexico. I go to Guatemala. I go to, you know, third and fourth world countries. And people changed. People decided to make a difference in that one moment, in that way. But, you know, we all can make a difference. What we are asked as light workers is to be part of an answer, no matter what it may be. It may be as simple as, another example, is I'm going to use Mary Ellen. So if you're listening to Mary Ellen, I'm cosmically busting you. She has a neighbor down the street who is very elderly and walks with a walker. Now, you know, most of us are so busy in our daily life, we wouldn't think about some simple things when you're walking with a walker and you don't have good balance. You know what? It's real hard to get your garbage can to the curb. Mary Ellen noticed her struggling one morning with her garbage can, and so now every Thursday she makes sure she takes the lady's garbage can to the curb and returns it next to her house so that it can save one person that struggle, that life struggle. That's being an earth angel. That's being a light worker. We have a friend who actually has a neighbor who had an accident at work. And actually, you know, people in neighborhoods aren't neighbors anymore. A lot of neighborhoods, you don't know your neighbor. They're rentals, and you don't know a lot about your neighbors. But this person actually had been in an accident at work and became blind. And everybody was complaining about his yard being overgrown because nobody knew he was blind. But now that people know he's blind, the neighbors take turns each month, or each 3 weeks, I guess it is, mowing his yard to make sure, A, that he doesn't get any citation from the city, but B, because they know he can't do it, and it makes a difference, a dramatic difference in his life. If there are any teachers listening, I would love you to call and talk. I'd love to talk a little bit about this No Child Left Behind thing, because really, it sounds like a good deal. It sounds like an answer to a prayer when we hear it, you know, on TV. But the more it was trying, as it was trying to be explained to me, and I don't want to explain it because I'm not a teacher and I didn't really understand it as much, I really found that it actually kind of limited things, and it puts more pressure on these kids to actually jump through hoops to get good grades, and to it almost puts them in more stress. It's interesting. I was actually talking to some indigos and some other kids. I actually asked them if I could, you know, talk to them about what they were pressured about, what it felt like to be in school with, you know, 7, 8, and 9-year-olds. And I was absolutely stunned under that, overwhelmed by the pressure they talked about that they have, not only just about getting good grades, understanding the subjects. I mean, I looked at some of their books and I thought, oh my God, I don't know that I could pass some of this stuff if I was going now. They seem to be so much, I mean, it almost feels to me like in junior high you're studying what you did in high school, that we have advanced that much. And perhaps it is the computer age and education has taken a higher level. But it seems like the simple things, the things that we need to use for every day that seem to be getting lost, how to fill out a job application, how to keep a checkbook, things that really are basic necessities for people. It's really interesting to me that, you know, as we get busy in our lives and as we grow older, I have to tell you, I'm thinking about who's going to take care of my bills when I can't see. My sister in Florida just actually lost her eyesight in one eye and has difficulty with her other eye. And we were talking about, you know, how hard that is. I mean, the minute you can't drive anymore, you lose your independence. The minute you really can't see well enough, perhaps, to take care of your checkbook and to do things that we take for granted every day, we realize that, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that need us, that need our help as light workers, that we can take 1 hour a month to help someone write their bill, that we can take someone to the grocery store. You know, it's amazing to me that we get caught up in being so busy, but the truth is, guys, all of us can find an hour a month to change a life. That means to volunteer to read to someone, to get the mail for someone, to volunteer to take someone to the doctors that needs to, or pick up their prescription, or take them shopping. Mary Ellen the other day was in a grocery store, and she saw a lady helping a lady push a basket, and the lady was wearing a halo, and she went up and talked to her because she said, oh, you're being an earth angel. This lady had chosen to be a helper for this lady, to take her grocery shopping, help her get her groceries and get them into the house and everything. So all of us can volunteer. We can be part of a blessing to another person, and sometimes it's the simple things that are important. And we take so much things for granted, and we get very busy in our lives. And yet, I know as light workers, I don't know about you, but I like people to say hello to me. I like people to say, smile and say they love me and they've missed me, and to say that I look nice. You know, it makes me, my ego feel better. It makes me feel good when I'm having a bad day at the cosmic office some days, to be uplifted by somebody noticing that my hair looks particularly nice. And so sometimes it doesn't have to be we're doing anything except maybe smiling at someone who's having a bad time, being kind to someone when we're out and about, even in our office, to notice that someone got their hair cut or changed the way their glasses, and whatever it is, it's the simple kindnesses, the appreciation, sharing our love, learning that as light workers, we have conscious choices. And I know that many, many times, and I know countless readers hear this, that, you know, people say, oh, I hate my job. When am I going to get a different job? I just hate my job. I don't want to go there anymore. Oh, my God. I have a terrible boss. And I say to them, well, you know, if you want to change it, guess what? You're part of co-creation. So you have to first co-create changing the negative energy. You have to perhaps see that boss that you don't like changing. Pray for that boss that you don't like. And I know as light workers, we're always like, oh, man, I don't want to do that. You know, that airy-fairy stuff, I have to be a nice person. Oh, my God. Yeah, I went to the workshop. I heard that. I've heard that repeated many times. But, man, it's a lot of work being spiritual. Well, the truth is it is. It's a lot of work being human. It is time where we really want to be different. We want to change. We want to do our work, our spiritual work. But our spiritual work sometimes looks like mundane work. You know, when I work and I teach workshops, and I've gone to many workshops, you know, and people want to, you know, be Reiki masters and healers, and they want to be massage therapists, and they want to be mediums, and they want to be readers, and they want all the things that go with metaphysics that we see as being such light workers and uplifting and doing things. But the truth is, if you look down and you have a human body, guess what? You're on your life path. And some days that is being the mom to your children. Sometimes it's being the daughter to your mother, or the son to your father, or caretaker of your elderly parents. And remembering that it's their turn to be childlike, and it's so hard and frustrating sometimes with Alzheimer's patients and with dementia. But I have to tell you, often parents have been so patient with us. When you hear people talk to their children and you actually hear so much love in their voice, you know that they are making a difference in that child's life. One of the greatest gifts we can give anyone is love. And it is the answer to everything, because love dissolves anything unlike itself. As I called in to my producer today, I could hear this tiny little voice in the background in the control room. And I loved to hear how Don answered his son. And the love in the voice, and how important it is to be a dad, and the strength it takes to be the dad. Because, you know, it's not always easy being a parent. You know, sometimes you have to be tough love. You have to be strong so they don't run out in the street. And so that you can help them develop their strong character. But the most important thing I hear in most parents' voices is love. And I'm sure many, many people have not experienced loving parents. I certainly know that for a fact from my work. One of the reasons my work is probably so strong. And so many, there's such a need for psychic readers and mediums and psychologists, is because there unfortunately has been abuse, verbal and physical, and all kinds of things and abandonment things that happen to people. But as we become more spiritual, as we go on seeking the light, seeking God, Goddess, all that is, seeking understanding of our own lessons, why did someone have to experience abandonment or abuse? And what did I learn from it? And will I break the chain of that? And will I choose to be part of the answer instead of part of the problem? All these things are gifts while we're here on this earth, to make conscious choices. If you have not read Neil Donald Walsh's book, Little Son and the Soul, I highly recommend it. It is a children's book. But it really teaches a bigger picture. It teaches that sometimes we come to help someone experience, to help them make choices, different choices. Sometimes we come to be their child to help them make a choice not to become a drug addict or an alcoholic. Sometimes they win and sometimes they don't. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tara. This is Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis. Welcome to the show.
I just had to tell you about, I go to Unity, and we have Christmas in July every summer where we bring school things in for the kids that the poor schools can't afford. And this year, unbeknownst to the grown-ups, the kids had their own Christmas in July, and they collected more than the grown-ups. And so they had ice cream one Sunday when we were in service. And I thought it was so cute.
I got chili bumps. I love that, Phyllis. That is so wonderful.
Isn't it?
I love that a church would do that. What a great idea. Christmas in July.
Yeah.
So that they can collect school things. And I love that the kids are showing you the way.
I know. It was
these indigo kids, I'm telling you, they got us beat, guys. We gotta pedal our bike faster.
And we bring nice used clothing but nice, you know, for the kids that can't afford it. And it's really nice.
Oh, guys, you guys are earth angels. I love that, Phyllis. Thank you so much for sharing that with me.
I was just one more thing. You know, I think we need to pray for what we call the terrorists, as well as anybody else, because I don't think they think of themselves as terrorists. I think they just are trying to survive.
I would agree with that, Phyllis. Having worked in the Middle East many, many years, you know, I can't say as I sat down to dinner and talked to terrorists, but I really think, you know, as I see people in other countries, and particularly Middle East in Egypt, because I've gone there many, many times, you know, they're just moms and dads trying to make it happen, you know, make sure their kids get school, get education, have a better life than they had, you know. Their family values in many ways are a little more attached. I mean,
right.
Because they have to live in, you know, a lot of people live in a small space over there. So the sense of community is a little more. But I agree with you. I think we absolutely have to pray for those who do these kinds of things, because I don't think they're thinking. I think they're in their own fears and react out of their own fears. And also I think they react out of fanaticism.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I think anywhere in the world, if you're fanatic, unfortunately, you're confused.
Yeah.
Anything.
Anyway,
it gets out of balance. So I agree with you. I absolutely pray for the people who do these kinds of things, that they get an understanding.
Right.
And then they can get out of their fears as well. Because I do believe they're lost. Anyone who harms anyone else is not thinking in the right mind.
Like they say, what happens to one happens to us all.
It's true. You know, that the one degree of separation thing and the string theory, you know, I do believe in my belief system that, you know, we are all connected. And so,
right.
And sometimes it's hard to remember that when I think somebody's being mean to me.
I know.
You know, I'm like the rest of the world. I can wham for a moment, but in a minute, if I take a deep breath, I go, okay, what did I co-create here? Why am I creating this?
Uh-huh.
Because it's true. You know, if you take that moment and say, okay, what is my part in this disagreement, or what is my part in this? You know, sometimes my part is not to react and
right,
just pray.
Right, right.
Thank you, Phyllis, darling.
Okay, talk to you later, Tara.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Bless Unity Church for doing that. It's a great idea that you can take back to your own church and collect and make a difference in children. Lives, because truly one of the most powerful things you can put in a child's hand is a pencil or a pen and help them to learn to write and use their imagination. I actually have to tell you, I have run across the greatest set of books for Indigo, Crystal, and Rainbow Kids. I love these books. I can't tell you how much. I actually just ordered the whole set for myself because today I'm probably 12 and a half years old. Young People's School of Magic and Mysteries. There's a series of about 10 books, most of them written by Ted Andrews. I just got the chance to meet him in person. He is one of the most incredibly lovely people I've ever met. In fact, the word gentleman was made for this guy. He wrote this series of books, and you can go find out about him on www.dragonhawkpublishing.com. I'm praying and hoping that I will get the chance to interview him in a future show. These books are, where were they when I was a kid? It would have made me feel not weird. I love that this series of books is written to take the fear out of things that are truly part of spirituality. One of the titles is Spirits, Ghosts, and Guardians. It tells you what, talks about things under the bed, in closets. It takes the mystery out of them. It talks about between places. It takes the fear out of bedtime stories. He has these books on magic of believing, psychic powers, dream time magic, star magic, fairy charms, healing, scrying, the word magic, ancient powers, and it is so, they are written so well and so beautiful. It talks about fairies. It talks about spirit guides. It talks about passed over loved ones. It is absolutely magical and takes so much fear out. And so if you have one of those little indigos and magic kids, these are the books they'd use at Hogwarts if we had a Hogwarts close. So if you loved Harry Potter, you're going to love these books. I really want to encourage, like I said, churches to do that, but even as an individual, go to your local school, you know, and ask if there is a kid you can sponsor, if there is something you can do to help in your local school. Find out about more about, you know, No Child Left Behind. Find out more about the WASL test. When I started hearing about that, I'm telling you, the hackles on the back of my neck went up. I don't want kids to have to worry about, did I pass this? Did I get in this percentage? I want them to feel loved and to know how to read and write and to know how to read and use their imagination and be creative and be the next generation that changes the world. You know, these kids are our future, and we have to give them wings to fly on. I don't want to give them pills to get over their neurosis. I don't want them to have neurosis. I want them to feel stronger and more supported in their childhood than even our generation. I want them to have connections with their parents, their grandparents. I don't want them to get lost in the system. If you read about Rudolf Steiner and his teaching systems, it's amazing. Or you read about Andrew Jackson, who also wrote about in spiritualism of starting lyceums for kids to teach them to be artistic and to have dream time, to have meditation time. I really think if we taught a little more meditation in schools, we'd have a few less bullies. I think we have to start teaching systems of kids being able to deal with their anger. Anger is rampant in America. Road rage, just anger in general, it's out of control. People do not know how to deal with getting mad or deal with their emotional debris field, and they run into it, and pretty soon their coping is taking drugs or alcohol, beating on somebody less that's littler than them, or verbal abuse. I mean, that's just as bad. When I see people in workplaces being verbally abused by their bosses, by people around them, I wonder what's going on with our world. And I pray. I'm telling you, when I'm in the grocery store, some days I'm doing more prayer work in that grocery store than I am anywhere else. On the highway, I'm certainly praying. I never get in my car without my guardian angel. And most of the time, I'm praying as I'm driving wherever I'm going. And it is a conscious choice. Prayer is important, but putting prayer in action by choosing to help a child. I have to tell you, I'm dyslexic. I can't spell worth beings. So I couldn't go tutor somebody, but I certainly can actually help sponsor someone who could tutor. And I encourage people who have retired, after you've took your first 2 years to travel and enjoy your life and things, and you settle back in, to take the time to volunteer in your local community in some way. Hello.
Oh, hello, Atira. It's Mary Ellen.
Hey, Mary Ellen. How are you today?
Well, fine. I thought there was so much sad news today and everybody's so worried. I was wondering if we could just change the topic to manifesting your dreams for a few minutes.
We sure can. Well, I hate to say this, Mary Ellen. I think that's what we're talking about. I don't think we're talking about disaster today.
Right.
I really think we're talking about being part of the answer.
And well, I want to let people know that it absolutely happens, because anybody who knows me, and Phyllis included, hi, Phyllis, that I've wanted to have a newspaper column for years, and this is a news flash because nobody knows it yet on my newsletter mail list. But the local newspaper just changed editors, and the owner came to me and asked if I'd like to do a column. And I've been wanting to do it for years and years to inspire and uplift people.
And Mary Ellen, see, that's what I'm saying. That is part of being the answer. That is something you've wanted for a long, long time, and truly it is making a difference in your community. Absolutely.
So the,
it's
and
like
the interesting thing
heart.
Is here is it's not at all what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be on miracles and inspiring people that way, but anybody who knows me knows I love cats and respect animals in the animal kingdom. I love to inspire. I've got a sense of humor that's just a little bit twisted, and I love to educate. And this new column is called Tips and Tales, and we take a picture of the owner and the cat or dog that owns the owner.
Or critter.
Yeah, any kind of critter. And then they write up a little story about the animal, the tail part, where it came from, what its name is, some cute thing that it does, like one dog actually eats underwear, but most dogs do, so these people were brave enough to admit it. And then an educational piece on how to prevent heat stroke on your animal, or sunburn, or they can get burn paws out in the hot pavement. A lot of people haven't thought of that.
But that is uplifting, and it's informing people, and that's exactly what I'm talking about today.
And it's exactly about manifesting your dreams.
You also were talking about doing a column on local heroes, correct?
Oh, I'm working on that right now.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm working on the fire department. When you are like I am, I'm allowed into the inner sanctum of the fire department, and I've gone on a rescue up a mountain. When I saw how hard those people worked, and I knew that their families hadn't heard from them in 3.5 hours, and one had left their birthday party with his wife and two of his seven kids, their birthday party was the same day, we were out of radio reach. They were going to send a search and rescue party in for us who were going to rescue the victim. But it was an amazing day, and I just really admired the dedication and the hard work and the strength and the sense of humor of these firefighters.
Well, you know, I actually admire them when they're rescuing people on a mountain. But you know what? I have to tell you, having had to be rescued lately and having to go to my local fire department to have my blood pressure taken, I admire them being right there in that office, too.
Exactly.
You know, they are on call 24/7 often.
Hey,
and
they love
so
food.
Many that
if
volunteer.
Somebody wants to thank them, you know, bake them some cookies or take them some healthy bread or something, because they are on there 24 hours. And what I've learned is they can come back from fighting 4 hours of a fire, and our little station only can have two or three on at a time, so they rely on volunteers. You're at a fire for 4 or 5 hours, and you come back to the station, you wash the vehicles, you re-equip them, you fill the air packs, you realign the hoses onto the trucks. And before you're done, there's another call, and nobody's had a chance to literally go potty or grab a bite to eat or sit down and put their feet up.
So there's another great place to take time to appreciate somebody. In fact, my time's almost up. This hour went so fast. Really, truly, what I was talking about today is not going into fear, but certainly being a lighthouse of light as a light worker in your local community. In fact, they had on the news just locally some young men who had found out some, you know, young girls had had some bad times in their life and things, and they went and bought out of their own money flowers and would ring the doorbell, and they wore masks and they just ran away. They just left them a note and told them what incredible, strong young women they are and what a good job they were doing in school and different things. And they did this not just to young women but to other, you know, older women in their community and stuff. And it was just about making people feel good and changing their lives. So we can do those things. Go to the local fire department and just say, I just thought of you guys today. I appreciate you.
They'd be surprised.
I hope I never have to call you, but I appreciate you.
Well, you know what? They are so dedicated and loyal to us. They don't do it for the pay, let me tell you that.
Yeah,
that's
a
joke down there.
I was stunned that volunteer firemen and women do not make a lot of money.
You know,
I don't think they even make a gallon of gas
when they go to a fire and fight it for 4 hours. They earn $6.
Oh, my God.
That was after the wage increase from $3 to $6.
Well, I just want to bless you for that. And I hate to say this, Marilyn, I got to go off the air. It's that time.
Enjoyed your show.
Thank you for calling in.
All right, bye-bye.
So, I hate to go off the air today because I really want to encourage all of you and thank you for being light workers, for making the difference, for praying for the Middle East, for changing lives every day. It's a conscious choice, and I know that there are so many of you out there that make a difference in another person's life each day by your kind, gentle, loving spirit. Remember, till I talk to you again, to let your angel keep their wings wrapped around you, keep your heart light, burning bright, and I wish you lots of angel blessings. Till next week.